وكلنا نعلم في الله. أما بعد، إخوتي وأخواتي في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We have concluded the book of Al-Ayman wal-Nuzul, that is the book of oaths and vows. Before that, we took the topic under As-Sariqa, that is theft. What is Islamic ruling on that? We also took the book of Hudud, that is the punishment in Islam. We also talked about the jinayat, offenses committed by people such as Al-Qisas. We talked about Al-Qisas, that is taking revenge or avenging what is committed against one. All this we have looked into: Al-Qisas, Al-Hudud, Al-Sarqa, Al-Nudur, Wal-Ayman. The next topic that we have here is Bab al-Qadha, the topic of Al-Qadha. What is Al-Qadha? Al-Qadha is an Arabic word which means the doing of a thing or the completion of a thing. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. And when the salah is concluded, قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ, when the salah is what? Concluded, is completed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said that in we say the meaning is the completion of a thing or doing of a thing. Allah said concerning the seven heavens, said فَقَضَاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed them as seven, that is seven heavens. So Al-Qadha can also mean Al-Hukmu, that is to pass a judgment. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ, and your Lord judged that you should not worship except Him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and that you should be good to your parents. So qadha means al-hukmu, judgment. So it is a context that to make us know whether the qadha used is the qadha of completion or the qadha of judgment. But the one that you are going to talk about in this topic is the qadha of ruling. What is the difference between al-qadha and al-fatwa? Al-fatwa is tabyinu hukmin shar'i, is to explain the religious ruling bidun ilzam, having the ability to enforce it. Somebody comes, for instance, and he says, oh madam, if I pronounce to my wife that I've divorced you, if I say this three times, what is the religious ruling on this? The malam now says, so and so is the religious ruling. we say the malam has given that person fatwa. Why? Because he does not have the ability to implement the religious ruling that he has explained to him or to us. Since he doesn't have the ability to enforce it, to say this is what fatwa. And for somebody to be a mufti, this requires a lot of quality. The only difference between al-fatwa and al-qadha is that al-qadha is tabyir hukm shar'i bi-ilzam. Explaining the religious ruling with the ability towards to enforce it. Like the person who comes to the qadi, somebody says to the qadi, for instance, somebody comes to him and explains this tables his affair before the qadi. The qadi may say, based on what you have explained, your wife is divorced. And such a man cannot say, no, it's my wife, I'm going to do whatever I like. Otherwise, he would be subjected to punishment. Because the qadi has the right to implement, to enforce whatever comes out of him. But the mufti doesn't have the ability to do that. And that's why in some Islamic countries, they may say somebody is a mufti and somebody is what? A qadi. They will have qudat. And you have somebody who is what? Maybe al-mufti al-am, the general mufti. So people who ask him questions about the deen, you give them. Only if he doesn't have the ability, the legal binding is not here to implement or enforce whatever religious ruling he has given. The one who is going to give a religious ruling, maybe the person is a mufti or the person is a qadi. I could say this needs some work. It requires some quality. The one who is to be a qadi must be somebody who is alim, somebody who is knowledgeable. A jahil is not a qadi. A jahil is not what? A qadi. The one who is going to be a qadi must be somebody who is alimun. Alimun with sharia. Somebody who knows the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not somebody who is what? Who is knowledgeable in the common law. Somebody who is knowledgeable in the common law, you can't make such a person a qadi. In Islam, a person must be knowledgeable in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody is knowledgeable in common law and is not knowledgeable in the Sharia, such a person in the Sharia is a giant. Despite the fact that what? He knows some other things. As far as what the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are concerned, such a person is a giant. So it can be made as the qadi. Because of the importance of qadha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told his prophet, Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah said, Ya Dawood, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ فَاحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْأَوَى وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْأَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَضِلُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ لِمَا نَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Dawood, certainly we have made you Khalifa on the surface of the earth. Inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. Fahkum bayna an-nas bil haqq. Fahkum bayna an-nas bil haqq. Judge among the people bil haqq, with the truth. Which means somebody who is to be a qadi of what? Must be knowledgeable about what? The haqq, the truth. And there is no truth except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. Any law contrary to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is batil. Because Allah is our creator, and the one that gives all the rules that to guide us. So any rule that is against that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a batil. And any person who is promoting such a law, such a person what? Is a mufti. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْأَهْوَى. And do not follow your self-desire. Every human being has his own self-desire. And that's why the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking about shaitan misleading people. He said everybody has his own shaitan. Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Wouldn't you message of Allah?" He said, "Yes. Illa anna Allah a'amani alayhi fa aslam." It's only that Allah has fixed me on it. Fa aslam. So it submitted itself to me. Or illa anna Allah a'amani alayhi fa aslam. Only that Allah has fixed me on it. That's why I'm free from this. Everybody has this desire. That you see this is the truth. But because of what? Because of your desire. You turn away from the truth. You will not judge by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. Because of your desire. But you know this is what Allah has said on this matter. But because you are looking for money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told his prophet Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, said, "Fala tattabi al-hawa, fa yudillaka an," if you follow your vain desire, it misguides you from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now anybody who turns away from the truth will be facing what? Misguidance. Allah says, "Inna alladhina yadhilluna," those who are misguided or who are misled from the path of Allah. Allah says, for them is what? Adab al-shadid. Severe punishment. Why? Because they neglect the day of reckoning. And that's why when you are in a position, make sure you do things in accordance with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you are directing your affairs, make sure you direct your affairs in a way that is in line with the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned his prophet Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. Likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Thumma ja'alnaka ala shari'atin min al-amri fattabi'ha wa la tattabi' awa ladhina la ya'lam." Allah said, "You have placed you on the sharia, on the fattabi'ha. Follow that path. ولا تتبع أهواء الذين لا يعلمون." do not follow the path of those who do not know. And that's why I say that any person who turns away from the truth, such a person is what? A jahil. Whether he has PhD or he has professorship or whatever, in anything, he's a jahil before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. Those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from among his servants are the ulama. And what? The ulama. The ulama are those who know the truth and they act in accordance with the truth. The one who knows the truth and doesn't act with according to the truth, such a person is also a jahil. If you call him an alim, it's somebody that what? Is ilm lam yanfa'u. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from ilm la yanfa'. Knowledge that does not benefit one. Maybe what somebody is wasting his time on things that is many things that will not benefit him on the day of Qiyamah. Nor will it what? Will it bring any benefit to him in this dunya? So, the issue of qada is something that is very, very important. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man wulliya qada, man wulliya qada." Whoever is given the post of the qadi. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Faqad dhubiha." The ghayr sikkin is been slaughtered without what? Knife. And that's why some scholars, they will run away from what? From assuming the post of the qadi. Because that's a post that if one wants to follow set desires, there is every opportunity. You give somebody who is not entitled to something, you give him the right of another person. Then because of money that was collected from such a person, or because of some considerations, maybe the person is a relative and so on and so forth. So I said it is compulsory that we judge by the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. So whoever does not judge with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, they are the kafirun, they are the zalimun, they are the fasiqun. So brothers and sisters, when you have anything that calls for judgment, make sure you endeavor that you rule by the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that you resort to the laws of the kuffar. Some of us believe that when we want to go by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not get what we want, what our friends desire are after. We will not get them except by going to the court of the kuffar. So this is something that is important. Somebody is going to be a call, we say the person must be somebody who is learned. Must be somebody who is what? Learned. Because the Prophet of Allah Salam said, Al-Qudatu Salasa. He said there are three types of what? Judges. There are three types of judges. Al-Qudatu Salasa. The judges are three types. It says, قَالِمْ عَرَفَ الْحَقَّ وَقَدَرِ. The first one is a judge who knows the truth and judges by the truth. He said this one is going to Al-Jannah. He said, قَضِيَانِ فِي النَّارِ تُقَضِي. They are going to air. He said, رَجِلٌ عَرَفَ الْحَقَّ وَقَدَى بِخِلَافِ. The one who knows the truth and judges or rules by other than the truth. This is going to end. Then the second one is رَجُلٌ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ الْحَقَّ. The one who doesn't know the truth, وَقَضَى بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, and also who's with other than the truth. And that's why the position of qadha is not something that we say, okay, let him be there. And the person will be using his own rashana or his own thinking to pass judgment. If his thinking agrees with the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a person is blameworthy. Why? Because he's not learned. The one who has the right to do ijtihad, that is to try to get law that is not specifically mentioned or unequivocally mentioned, the one who has the right to do that is somebody who is an alim, a learned person, who knows the verses of the Quran, a hadith of the Messenger of Allah, and he has a knowledge of the usul, how to derive rulings. So someone who is a jahil, he now passes a judgment, and the judgment that he passes, that judgment now agrees with the truth. Such a person is still blameworthy because he's a jahil. So this is something that is important. The author in this book started the chapter of qadha with the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. Whoever is in this affair of ours, what is not part of it, فهو رد, it is rejected. From the explanation given earlier, it will be clear the meaning of this hadith. That as far as what you are concerned as Muslims, what should be your main target whenever you have any dispute or whenever you have any issue to settle, is to settle it with the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith is not a way anything that has to do with Bid'ah and the Deen. Man ahdatha fi amrina, whoever introduces in this affair of ours, ma laysa minhu, what is not part of it, fa huwa raddun, this will be what? Rejected to that person. So likewise, things that have to do with the ahkam, when you judge with the law that is against that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that judgment is rejected to you. If you judge by the law contrary to that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the law is not accepted. Such a person is sinful before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is not restricted or limited to this act. It's not limited to this act. It also includes ahkam. So whether the bid'ah that one has introduced is bid'ah in aqidah or bid'ah in what? In ahkam. And when we say bid'ah is something that is introduced for one may have the intention of what? Moving close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what one has introduced. This is bid'ah. But when we say something is ma'asiyah, bid'ah is ma'asiyah. But when we use the word ma'asiyah generally, it means something that may not necessarily be what? Be something that one is, and one has the intention of going near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. Like one who is fornicating now, the one who is taking into account and so on and so forth, such a person is committing ma'asiyah. Somebody is now ruling that it is permissible to take into account, it is permissible to have girlfriends, it is permissible to take riba, it is permissible to gamble. The one who is legalizing things like this, such a person is what? is introducing what is not part of the deen. If you not claim that this is what the deen, then this is what great life. And that's why Allah said, "Amna ushuraka shara'u lahum min al-deen ma lam yadhan billah." They are partners who institute in the deen what Allah has not approved. A lot of things that people will tell you, you can do this, you can do this, let all this type of nafla, let all this. When you ask them what is the evidence, they can't produce the evidence. أَمْ لَمْ شُرَكَا شَرَعُ لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. What Allah has not approved. For you to practice anything as part and parcel of the deen, there must be an approval from Allah and His Messenger. If there is no approval, one falls under what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَجُلٌ. And if he has not taken precaution, he becomes what? A kafir. One who introduces a bid'ah, he with the intention of joining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that thing, if he is not taking that precaution, he becomes what? A kafir. Then one who introduces something, maybe a law that Allah has passed, and says, no, 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 we can't implement this type of law. This is what? This is barbaric, this is draconian, this is so and so. Such a person is not going near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that statement of evil. But what is going against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. Such a person is a kafir. And that's why istihlalu al-ma'asi, making permissible the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden, making them permissible makes one a kafir. Then in presuming things of this act, in presuming things with the intention of bringing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in case not taking, may make one watch the con a kafir. And that's why we have to be very, very careful in shubhat and shahwat. Most of the people that were captured by shaitan, they were captured through shubhat. Shaitan will capture people with shahwat. What is shubhat? Shubhat is misconceptions. Make you see things and say, oh, what is wrong in this? You are joining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this. You people, you are too this, you are too that. He doesn't see anything wrong in what he has introduced to draw near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person is suffering from shubhat. And that's why the people of bid'ah, they are ashab shubhat. The people of what? Misconceptions. Why those who are taking provocants, fornicating, committing adultery, taking riba, gambling, these are what? Ashab shahwat. People that are falling into the trap of shaitan through shahwat, what their body will enjoy. But it is easier for shaitan to convince people or to confuse people through shubhat. And that's why somebody who takes intoxicant, for instance, the Muslim and he takes intoxicant. It is something that is somehow strange for him to say, watch, what I'm thinking is okay. To say, but somebody who introduces a kind of maybe weed, for instance, the tariqa of the thing, such a person, if you try to tell him, even that you are doing such okay, vida, then look at him. He's shedding us away from Allah. And that's why Shaitan can capture a lot of people through bid'ah. To catch up some people through ma'asi that are not bid'ah. All of these, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha. Whoever introduces in this affair of ours, marriage, I mean, who? What is not part of it for war is doing? This is rejected. What is the relationship with of this hadith with the topic al-qadar? The relationship is that what? Somebody who is appointed as a qadi is what? A speaking on behalf of Allah's messenger. When he now passes a judgment, this judgment should be considered to be what? The law of Allah's messenger. But he may have considered some other things. Maybe the person that he has given, that has favored, maybe the person is a relative of his. Maybe he has gotten bribe from such a person. So, but the judgment that he has given it in the name of what? In the name of Allah, in the name of the deen. So such a person has introduced in the deen of Allah what is not part of it. Just as a notary introduces in the deen what is not part of it. The qadi or the mufti is also introducing in the deen what is not part of it. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala wrote a book which is titled Al-Ilah al-Muwakki'in and Rabbi al-Alamin. That is teaching or notifying those who are writing. Who are writing or signing on behalf of the Lord of the world. When you say, I'm a sheikh, I'm a malam, I'm this and that, what you are saying is that what? You are representing the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-ulama'u warasatul anbiya. The scholars, they are the heirs of the prophet. وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَا لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا وَإِنَّمَا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمِ. The prophet will not leave anything to be inherited except knowledge. Not money to be inherited by any scholar, but knowledge. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إنما العلم بتعلم. Knowledge is achieved by what? By learning. Knowledge is achieved by learning. Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam learned. For somebody to tell you that what he was born, alim, no. Or be taught. So and that's why there are a lot of things that the scholars, they want somebody who wants to be a mufti or somebody who wants to be a qadi to possess a lot of qualities. And Imam Ibn Qayyim wrote a book which is titled At-Turuq al-Hukumiyya, that is the way of passing judgment. Somebody is going to be a judge, a Muslim judge, a Sharia judge. Such a person must be somebody who possesses what? The quality of ilm. You have the quality of what? An amana. One thing is to possess knowledge, another thing is to have what? To have amana in the knowledge. So that you will not give the right of another person to another person. The one who gives the right of another person, such a person does not have what? Amana. So amana is not restricted to business. It also involves what? When you pass judgment, make sure the judgment that you are passing, there is no favoritism there. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told to Prophet Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam, وَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْأَوَى. One who follows his desire has no amana. So knowledge, so amana, they are what is important. They are very, very important. If you know you want to be a judge, you want to be a qadi, you want to be a mufti, you want to be talking about the deen, that means you have to learn. I must have good intentions. The intention shouldn't be what I want to be competing with people, I want to be debating with the riffraff, or I want to be boasting in front of the weak people, or I want to be competing with the scholars just to argue with them. The one who does that, such a person will be thrown into hell. Be thrown into hell, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. So one must have good intention, and one must have amana. There are some things that the scholars they consider to be adab al-qadi, the etiquette, or the virtue, the manner that a qadi must have. So some of them are compulsory, some of them are not compulsory. But this is not the time to talk about that. So the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رجل. الإمام النووي رحمه الله تعالى said this hadith is one of the great principles of the deen. Which means any ibadah you do, and that ibadah does not have evidence in the deen, consider it what? Rejected. Consider it what? Consider it rejected. In fact, some scholars of Usul al-Fiqh, they say this hadith is an evidence for the principle that an-nahyu yaqtari al-fasad. When we have any forbidden, whether what the forbidden is affecting is ibadah, it means the ibadah is not what? Valid. The Messenger of Allah said what? Fahuwa raddun, is rejected. If it's a business transaction, the answer is business transaction is against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means what? The transaction is not valid. You have to revoke the business transaction. Because Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna. Whoever does any act that is not in line with our affairs, that is this religion of Islam, power of doom, it is rejected. And that's why scholars of Usul al-Fiqh, they use this as what, as an evidence, and nahyu yaqtadi al-fasad. When we have nahyu, talking about an ibadah, or talking about a transaction, it shows that what the forbidden means, the transaction or the ibadah, is fasid, it's not acceptable. So if one goes ahead to implement or to execute or to effect that transaction or ibadah, such a person is embarking on something that is what? That is batil. And it will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection. So that's why any ibadah that you want to do, the ibadah must be something that has basis. If it doesn't have clear-cut evidence, it must be something that is backed by the deen, maybe by the Quran or the Hadith, or by Ijma. It must be backed by this, not supported. Or if it seems that this thing is what is supported by some of the dalalat or mufhumat of the deen. If you have a clear text that is against that means you can't watch, you cannot use it. And that's why a lot of people fall in bid'ah like this, because they do not stick to this hadith. من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. So the qadi should prepare himself to judge by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed
الله أعلم. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. Now someone is asking that if Bira is Marcia, can a person who practices Bira seek forgiveness for Bira from Bira that he has not intended from? Secondly, if someone thinks that Bira is the same thing as Marcia, the same thing as sin, can someone who is the most deadly seek forgiveness for Bira he has not intended from? Do you think that Bira should be forgiven like sin, even when the innovator before he came to the guy, same as the prophet? And if you say that she is in bad with Baha'u'llah, then you must move for Dawah that Bira is not bad here.
Alhamdulillah, salatu salam, ya Rasulullah. Now, Bid'ah, we say this is innovating a thing in order to draw near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, most of the time, when the word Bid'ah is used, it means innovating a thing to draw near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, at times, the scholars will use the word Bid'ah to refer to something that one may not intend drawing near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. But this is what Khilaf Sunnah is opposed to what Sunnah. And that's where we talk about Talaq Bidri, the Bidri Talaq. That is Talaq that is not in line with the Sunnah. Like the man who divorces his wife while she's menstruating. Or divorces her in the purity that he has left with her. You know, Islamically it is not permissible to divorce a woman while she is menstruating. And it is not permissible for a person to divorce his wife while she is in the purity that he has left with her. So this scholar will say what he wrote. Well, that could be seen. But it's not that the person who has done it is what seeking closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But under when they say this thing is what is bid'ah, is what somebody is doing in order to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that thing is not approved by the Sharia. So everything is not approved by the Sharia, and the person is dealing with the intention of drawing near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said this is what? Bid'ah. But if the person is doing this thing, and this thing is not approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his messenger, but the person is not having the intention of drawing near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said this is what? Ma'asiyah. This is what? Ma'asiyah. That is disobedience. Like somebody who is consuming toxicants, who say this is what matter, it's not approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody who is fornicating or is committing adultery with this matter, not approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who calls this act? Because the person doesn't have the intention of what? Of joining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with consumption of intoxicants, with fornicating with. Doesn't have the intention of joining Allah. So this is what the matter. But something that one has the intention of joining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what bid'ah. That thing is not approved by the deen. So are we going to say that what bid'ah, something that one is joining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it, are we going to say that thing is what? Is ittiba? It's not ittiba. Are we putting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not approved? Or are we following the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So there is mafia here, there is elements of mafia in every bid'ah. Even when you have good intention. But the fact that what you are doing is not in line with what the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought, this is mafia. Even if you have what ikhlas, that you are doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the fact that you are not following the path of the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that particular act, this is what mafia. And that's why some scholars they will use the term that this is what fiskun milli. Fiskun milli or fasikun milli. The one who is doing bid'ah with the intention of bringing Allah to hand, they call him fasik. So when we say bid'ah, bid'ah is what? It's ma'asiyah. Bid'ah is what? Ma'asiyah. Because the opposite of ma'asiyah is what? It's tiba or ta'ah. So if the person that is doing bid'ah, we can't say he's following the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what he's doing. That is he's doing what? He's doing mafia. But his mafia is not like the mafia of somebody's what? Who knows that this is what the message of Allah says, but this is what I'm going to do. He has some worship, he has some ambiguity. Some misconceptions preventing from this what I was saying, it's okay to say what this is mercy as well, to say the person is mercy. Now the person who is the most terrible, if the person seeks forgiveness, is Allah going to forgive him? Yes. Any person who seeks forgiveness, Allah forgives him. Whether the mercy that is doing is what mercy that is not mercy of bid'ah or the mercy of bid'ah, Allah will forgive you. Will Allah forgive the one who is engaging in mafia? Say for example, somebody is committing adultery or committing or taking intoxicants. Will Allah forgive him even if he doesn't do tawbah? He said the aqidah of Al-Ismail Jama'i that what? Allah will punish such a person unless it's Allah wills not to punish him. Unless it's Allah wills. So Allah may will not to punish him. Maybe he has some hasanat that allow him to wipe off some of these things that he has. Maybe Allah may punish him, so there is no guarantee. And that's what Allah says, Madhuna Zanika. He will forgive what is not up to him. Liman Yesha. For whom he wills. So there is no guarantee. It is something applicable to somebody who is a person. Like somebody is like the video of the Asha'ira, video of the Maturidiyya, video like this. It is the same thing applicable that Allah will punish him. But if Allah wills, Allah may not punish him. The same thing can also be applicable or is also applicable to such a person. If Allah wills. And that's why some of the scholars who fell in some of these bid'ah, people like Ibn Hajar, and Imam Nawawi, Ibn Jawzi, and some of Ibn Hazm, and so on and so forth, scholars they still consider them to be good, to be scholars. But they know they fall in the bid'ah in aqidah. They will refute them because the truth is what dearer to them than what? Than the personality of these people. But they will not condemn them to end because the bid'ah that they're falling into is not kufru. The bid'ah that is not, the bid'ah that they're falling into is not kufru. The bid'ah that they're falling into is maybe as a result of some misconception. And we have, according to the scholars, there is what is known as al-udhu bil-jahl. But that doesn't mean that you liken Ibn Hajar, for instance, to somebody who is taking intoxicants, fornicating, and so on and so forth. Huh? You know, some people today, they say they are preaching aqidah, or they are preaching tawhid. They will say people like Ibn Hajar, they are worse than people who are taking intoxicants, who are taking, who are fornicating, who are committing adultery, who are stealing, who are. How can you liken a spoiler with somebody who is what? Who is not a spoiler? So we should be careful in this aspect. But that doesn't mean those scholars who go wrong in those aspects of Aqidah, that they will not be criticized, they will be criticized. Because the truth should be clearer to us than their personality. Likewise, those who fall in one mafia or the other, they also ought to be criticized. Because if you do not criticize them, how will people know what is wrong from what is right? So Allah
Alam. Is it compulsory to you to undo your prayer when you want to do the ghusl of janazah or hajj or the fast for a woman?
Now what is more correct on this matter is that it's not compulsory to undo the prayer. It's not compulsory to undo the prayer when the woman wants to do the ghusl of hajj or janazah or the fast. It's not compulsory to do that. Sheikh Al-Bad Rahmanullah Ta'ala used to take the position that it is compulsory to do that when a woman is going to take the ghusl for hajj, that she has to undo the air. But the Sheikh's attention was drawn to the fact that the hadith that these scholars are using, that the hadith does not necessarily mean what we have interpreted it to be. And that is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she saw a menstruation and started crying during the period of Hajj while they were going for Hajj. She was in a state of ihram. When she saw the menstruation, she started crying. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her that, "Have you started menstruation?" She said, "Yes." The Messenger of Allah told her that Ibn Sha'arak waqtifili, undo your hair and take your but waqa'ali ma yata'alibu al-hajj, do all that the pilgrim does ghayra Allah tatu even bayt, except that you should not do tawaf around the house, that is the Kaaba, hatta tatahari, until you are pure and purify yourself. Now somebody may want to look at, if you look at the hadith from the surface, you say what? That shows that what? A hajj ought to what? Undo the air. Because Messenger of Allah told Aisha Shara. That means she will have to what? Undo the air. But the evidence is that what? As Aisha finished her hajj, the ghusl that Messenger of Allah asked her to perform, was it the ghusl of somebody who had finished hajj or just to clean after? Huh? Just to clean after. And that's why the Sheikh, when his attention was brought to this, he said, وَهَذَا حَقٌ وَاضِحٌ جَلِيلٌ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ أَسْفَدِينَ إِسْلَىٰ بِسْحِيَةٌ. Said it's a clear truth. And the Shaykh Rahmahullah Ta'ala joined the position of those scholars who say it is not compulsory on women to undo their hair when they are performing ghusl of janaba or ghusl of hajj or ghusl of nifas. Allah.
It's always Jumu'ah prayer when the Imam is on the platform in Tashahhud. How will he complete the Salah? Is there evidence for praying Muslim in Jama'ah? And what praying in the way?
Well, there is no evidence for praying with in Jama'ah on the constant basis. If one does it once in a while, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do with some of his companions once in a while, there is nothing wrong in this. We have the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that of Aisha radiallahu anha, once in a while this will happen. But making it a constant practice, this is what bid'ah. And don't forget the definition of bid'ah is whatever act of ibadah you do with the intention of going near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no evidence in Sharia establishing it that way. This is what this is bid'ah. And there are two types of bid'ah. There are bid'ah mukaffira and bid'ah mufassiqah. Bid'ah that takes one out of the fold of Islam. And bid'ah that is what? That is mufassiqah. That makes one a fasiq. As I said, this is what fits completely just a tick in the middle. Not because the person is taking exorbitant or so we call him fasiq. So there are two types of bid'ah. So when we say bid'ah, don't ever think that all the bid'ah I watch are the same in status. As somebody may want you to understand that every bid'ah is what's cooked. There is no scholar or someone that has explained it. They classify bid'ah into what? Mukaffira and mufassiqah. So the one who claims to have knowledge of the unseen, for instance, and he believes that he's joining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this, such a person is what? He's doing bid'ah, and the bid'ah is what? Bid'ah mukaffira. The bid'ah that takes him out of the fold of Islam. For claiming what? The knowledge of the unseen, and thinking that what is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this. So ilmul ghaib, the name of ilmul ghaib is knowledge of the unseen. When we translate this literally, al-ghaib. Al-ghaib, there are two types of ghaib. What you don't see is ghaib to you. Who somebody else may watch may see it. So this is what ghaibun nisbi is, a particular ghaib. That is, you don't know what somebody else knows. What I watch, ghaibun kulli. There is ghaib that is what? That is complete. Nobody knows it. So when we talk about the ilmul ghaib, we are talking about that is what? Left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nobody shares with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone has the knowledge of the ghaib. And it's only those that you want to give to, from among his messengers, there is this lead to from the knowledge of what? From the ghaib. But this ghaib needs to be that what? I mean, inside now, some people are outside. I don't know what is going on outside. So what is going on outside is ghaib to me. But so that somebody who is outside doesn't know what is going on inside, it's ghaib to him. So, ghaib to me, ghaib to him. This ghaib is what? Ghaib needs to, because we have some other people. But ghaib mutlak, this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anybody who claims this, such a person is a kafir. So there are a lot of things attached to this that this the time that we have will be enough to take this question online.
There are some items that we found in a certain amount of money from researches. If you are the owner of any of those items, it comes to our office to come and change them.